Let's thank the Lord for this opportunity to study His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at a portion this morning, may You take that portion of Scripture to help us to apply it to our own personal lives. Now we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, some time ago, we were in John chapter 11, and we have note that some come to Jesus. They proclaim to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Two sisters, Martha and Mary, desire him to come and to heal him. And we read in John chapter 11, verses 11, "And these things said he, after he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, if you'll look at your introduction, at that point, we went back to Luke chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 51, and we went through a number of passages in Luke. We ended up with Luke chapter 17, verse 10. It says, the very next verse says this, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." We're seeing that our Lord has now made his journey. He's come back to Jerusalem, and we're going to see that he is about to heal their sick brother Lazarus. So let's pick up our study here this morning on John chapter 11, verse 11. Excuse me, John verse 11, we're going to look with verse 17. "Then, when Jesus came, he found him that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." Who arrives in Bethany? When Jesus came, he's back to Bethany. Remember, Bethany's not very far from Jerusalem. What did Jesus discover? Well, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. All right, so we can kind of put things together. We know that after they came, he delayed at least 2 days. Then it's about a day, maybe 2 days' journey. And he finally comes out, and he's been now 4 days, of course, bearing witness that this guy is truly dead, all right? How far was Bethany from Jerusalem? Verse 18 tells us. "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off." Now, that might be a long distance, you might think it is anyway, but it's less than 2 miles, as I give you information on your sheet. Our next question, who had come to Martha and Mary during this time? "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary." And why did they come? Well, to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, we know that in this society, in this time, that they had professional what? They were professional mourners. That's what they did. They were professional mourners. But now, I'm assuming that along with these professional mourners, there were also some who were truly and sincerely compassionate and caring over Martha and Mary at the loss of their close brother. But look at verse 20. Who heard that Jesus was coming? We read, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. As soon as she heard, she went and met him. Now, was Martha always like that? Because we're going to see, she goes, so who's not going? Martha's going, all right, she's going. Well, what was Mary doing there, according to verse 20? Ah, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, you remember another incident in Martha and Mary's life, don't you? And Jesus came to minister, and he was teaching, and Martha got upset, didn't she? You remember why she got upset with Mary? Martha was what? She was doing all the work. She was preparing the meal. And Mary, she was sitting and listening to Jesus. And of course, the Lord rebuked her, you know, saying, you know, Mary desired, you know, the better thing. Well, wow. Now we see that maybe those words really penetrated into Martha's heart and life. Because Jesus is on his way. And it is Martha, upon hearing that he's coming, she goes to meet him. Now, there might be something else involved as we go on here. But, you know, it's so we see that, you know, what do you think of the personality of each of these women? What do you think that might be happening? Because you see one going, you see one staying. One might have been what? Mary might have been what? What happens to sometimes when we are grieving? Our grief can what? Paralyzes. And she may have been paralyzed to the aspect that she couldn't go. She was in so much grief. Mary was just, she was paralyzed. And this is what we've talked about before, about grief. That grief is something natural. And it's healthy as long as it doesn't paralyze us. If it immobilizes us so that now we become no earthly good to God or for others, then that's wrong. But we can surmise a whole number of things. You know, anybody else want to take a shot at dark? Because that's, you know, that's what we're doing here. About Martha's desire to go see Jesus, Mary's desire to remain at home. Anybody? You're not going to, I mean, it's just going to be what mine is, I guess. So, yes. Martha's going to rebuke. Okay, so she's been reading ahead too. Okay, all right, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yes, Dottie? Okay, all right. In this situation, that's her work. It's going out to meet Jesus. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Well, let's read on. Who spoke to Jesus? Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus. And what did Martha say to Jesus? Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Okay, now what do you sense about Martha in hearing that statement from her? She's got faith. What does she have faith in the Lord about? That he what? He could heal the sick. She has faith. Martha has faith that had Jesus been there, he could have healed her brother. She had that kind of faith. What does Martha say she knew? Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. All right, now what things about the Lord do you think Martha believed? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. It's almost saying she believes what? Yeah, that God could heal this, her brother. What did Jesus say to Martha? Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. What did Martha say about what Jesus had just said? Martha saith unto her, wait, I know unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. All right, now, having read a little bit further, what's this tell us about Martha's faith? We know Martha believed that Jesus could heal the sick. All right? Now, because of what we just read, we know that Martha also believed that God was going to do what? Jesus was going to do what? Raise the dead, but when? At the last day. So she believed that Jesus could heal the sick. And she had faith to believe that there's going to be a resurrection day. All right, she understood that. She believed that. But is there something lacking in Martha's faith? What does Jesus say to and ask Martha in verses 25, 26? Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So the Lord's taking it even to a different plane. Yes, he's a healer. Yes, there's going to be a resurrection. But what about him being the resurrection and the life? What about him being able to give spiritual life to those who were spiritually dead? Believest thou this? Now, I give you on the top of page 3 a whole bunch of I ams. John's filled with a bunch of I ams. And I'll let that be a little study on your own. Here he's saying, I am the resurrection. What's another one that comes to your mind? I am, do you remember any other ones? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody remember anyone? I am the door. I am the light. I'm the good shepherd. Okay. And another one I just popped off my mind and forgot. But anyway, okay. So those are some of the I ams. I mentioned here on top of page 3, those who are born again will never die spiritually, for they have eternal life. All right, that's what's hidden in this verse that Jesus just shared with us. And then secondly, I write, those who are born again may die physically. I said will die physically. They will unless he comes, but will be resurrected from the grave. All right, now these are some of the truths that we know. But notice now in verse 27, how did Martha answer Jesus' question? She said, now remember what his question, do you believe that I'm the resurrection of life? Huh? Do you believe this? And Martha answered Jesus' question. She says, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. All right, so what did I ask you? What do you think about her declaration? Pretty sound? He asked her, She says, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe you're the Messiah, which should come into the world. Sounds good, don't you think? I think so. All right, but notice what Martha does next. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. So in other words, when she goes back to the house, she doesn't just openly declare because there's a whole bunch of people around, right? So it appears that she goes over and she gets into Mary's ear and she says something to Mary, all right? What did Martha say next? Saying, the master, the teacher, is come and he calleth for thee. So now we see why she went away. Martha had come, asked this question. Christ had addressed it. She had responded to his calling on her. And now Jesus is in this conversation and must have said, well, where's Mary? I want to see Mary. We see now Martha scurrying back, get Mary, speaking to Mary secretly. And let's see how Mary responded when she heard that Jesus was asking for her. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. What do you think of that? Now we see initially Martha scurrying off, Mary remaining. But now we see Mary's response is, soon as she heard it, she rose quickly and came to him. Oh, maybe it just what? Maybe initially Mary was just waiting for the Lord to come to her. But now she hears that the Lord wants her to come to him. And we see her response. It's one of obedience. I mean, she comes to the Lord. I mean, sometimes we kind of wait, wanting the Lord to come to us. But there's other times when the Lord just wants us to come to him. And we see her doing that very thing. And where was Jesus at this time, according to verse 30? Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. He's still were at the place where Martha had met him. Something had stopped his traveling. I don't know all what's going on. But he was traveling, he got so far, Martha met him there, and he still remains there. And this is where he's asking Mary to come to meet him. Now, though Jesus' desire was to meet somewhat privately with Mary, that's not going to happen, I write. Who was in the house with Mary? Verse 31. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her. All right, so that's what we see. We're in the house. Well, what did these Jews see and do? When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her. So she's not getting away from the throng of people, is she? And where did they say she was going? What were they surmising? Saying, well, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Does that sound logical? Yeah, that sounds logical. And that's what they're thinking and what they're believing. All right, now I'm going to stop us at this point because I want to do the next part in its entirety, and I don't want to just get through part of it. So we're going to stop here, but we're going to go back and take a look at these verses and see if they teach us anything about our triune God. So let's go back to verse 17. We'll go down through here and see what we've learned about our God, what we learned about mankind, and how these verses might change our behavior. Verse 17 says this. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Have we learned anything? Now, we might even put all the other verses before that together. Did we learn anything about our Lord? Then, when Jesus came. Then when Jesus came. What do we find about our Lord? We talked about it this morning about our God, you know, and about his nature. The fact that our God has planned it all. And every... Thank you. That's exactly it. God's got a plan. And his plan will be fulfilled in his perfect timing. Was it God's plan for him to immediately return when Lazarus was sick? No, Lazarus was dead by the time the messengers got there anyway. But it was not God's plan. God had something else in store. And so what we learn about the nature of our God is that he's got a plan. And his plan will be fulfilled in his perfect timing. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. What do we learn about mankind here? In that verse 19. And many of the Jews came. They came to Martha. They came to Mary to comfort her concerning her brother. What can we learn about even unsaved people? They can show compassion, can't they? Now, we said there were some professionals. So, the thing that we have to remember is that even for the unsaved, their motive will never be absolutely what? Can't be pure, okay? But the unsaved, they can give us well wishes. They can, in their own way, seek to comfort us. And so we shouldn't be surprised by something like that, because we see it right here, that there were those who were seeking to comfort Mary at this time of loss. And we should pretty much even expect to hear some of our unsaved family members, some of our unsaved friends write us a note, share their sympathy with us as best they can. All right, reading on. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. So what do we learn here concerning Martha and Mary? What should we expect in any situation, even in some form of when there's bereavement, when there's sorrow? What might we expect? What do we see here? We see two different what? Reactions. Two different reactions. Now, you and I might say, well, this one was right and that one was wrong. But what you and I should expect is not everybody is going to respond the same to pain, to sorrow. We should expect to see some different responses. And this is what we see here. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus she comforted, she went and Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto the Lord Jesus, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, what do we see here? Martha giving it a what? Well, can it be a rebuke? Now we might say, well, it could have been a aspect, well, she was showing her confidence. But it appears that there was a little rebuke. Well, what do we learn about us? Do we ever give God a little rebuke? Well, God, if Well, God, why? Because it's almost like she's asking why, isn't it? Well, if you'd been here, well, Lord, why weren't you here? So we see that, yes, that could even be a natural response from you and I. Martha, we know, is a believer. Now, does her faith need to be enhanced? And the answer is, as we'll see as we continue our study, yes. Well, you have faith, but does your faith need to be enhanced? Yes. And how does God seek to enhance our faith? What do you think he's doing here? Well, we already know, don't we, about the disciples. He said, back up in verse 15, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe." Nevertheless, let's go into him. And he's speaking to who? To his disciples. They had faith, yeah. Did they need to have their faith enhanced? Yes. What should we expect? As God showed, we should expect our faith to be tested. And through it, hopefully that it will be enhanced. That's what, you know, he said, I want you who are going with me, my disciples, your faith to be enhanced. But he's also got a couple other people in mind of who he's testing and who he wants to, their faith to come forth as gold. So we see this. And verse 23, what do we learn about our Lord? And Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." So immediately, even if we don't read anything further, those words should have been words of what to Martha? Comfort. What's he giving to her? We talked hope. We talked about this in our series in bitterness. You know, there's just times when we need to give that individual hope. And he's giving her hope. Hey, thy brother shall rise again. Wow. Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." So what do we see there about Martha? What do we see there about ourselves? Sometimes we don't what? On the first hearing, the first reading, we may not fully, totally understand.
But he didn't want him to say,
"No,
I'm going to raise him from the dead."
Today.
Today.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So he's eating out of her what faith she has.
Yes. Even that is another test. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So now he's taking it. Well, what do we learn about our Lord? We could say, what do we learn about our Lord here? He is the what? He's the resurrection. He's the life. What do we know about our Lord? He can give what? To those who believe. What can he give? Spiritual life. They shall never die. Spiritual life. They shall never die. So we see this is the nature of our God, of what he can do. He gives life. We talk about creation. One of the things that we do see that the continual God giving life in the spiritual sense. Now, again, we're back to mankind. Well, how do they respond? She saith unto him, verse 27, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." All right, that's her declaration. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. And so we see the Lord is taking her faith and he's moving it, so we can see that individuals, through the Word of God, can grow in their faith to God. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master has come, and he called for thee. What do we see there about this Christian individual? What do we learn? What's Mary do? She obeys. So we see that there's a faith. What do we talk about? We sing our song, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." Well, now we're seeing faith mixed with obedience. She's made this declaration, "Oh, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And now she goes and brings her sister because the Master's asked her to do so. And as soon as Mary hears that, she arose quickly and she came unto him. Well, now we see that here's another demonstration of someone who has heard the call of Christ, that she what? Obeys and goes. And does so quickly. Now that Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, they comforted her. And when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goeth into the grave to weep there." So again, what can we expect of even the unsaved? Certainly they have a curiosity, don't they? But we see, they're going to follow after, showing some concern. And, you know, the unsaved, they can show concern, for they have a conscience. And then, verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet." I don't want to go any further, because that's when the next part. Because we saw the first part was when the Lord was working with Martha and her faith. Now he's going to turn and deal with Mary and her faith. But that's for our next time. But what I want you to do is this. All right, we read down through there. How might these verses change our behavior? What might you be aware of? Purpose to be aware of as you read through these, something like this. The Lord knows best. He has the whole picture. What else do we know about our Lord? I purpose to be aware. Yeah, the Lord knows best. I purpose to be aware that the Lord might well what? Take time. Delay is time. All right, that's good. But I know that the Lord may test my what? He's going to test my faith. And there's probably not going to be an incident in our life that does not somehow have its link to the fact that God is trying our faith, wanting to enhance our faith. Always. Always. And so we need to be aware of that. How about this? You fill it in. Hey, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, I purpose. All right, to obey. But what's the first thing? Even to obey? Yeah, to trust, to believe. He says, "I'm the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You know, that's what I purpose to do. I purpose to put my faith, my trust in the Lord. Because he is the resurrection. Because he is the life. Now, all right. Anything else that we might want a purpose to do as we look through these verses? Well, we'll conclude. We'll take a bite out of this. our next time. We won't quite get all the way through this chapter, but we'll see how he now deals with Mary and wanting to enhance her faith. But just keep it in mind, some way, somehow, this week, God is going to use an incident in our life in desiring to enhance, to fan our faith. And you could be pretty much sure of it. Well, Heavenly Father, first of all, help us to be very cognizant of any and all situations where you are trying to enhance our faith. And help us, I pray, to make a declaration that we trust you, we believe in you, that you are doing this for our good and for your glory. We just want to thank you that, in fact, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. We praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.